Welcome to the Idea Climbing Podcast. Today, we're discussing how to design a successful business. My guest is serial entrepreneur Colleen Biggs. Topics include how Colleen built multiple companies and balanced her personal and professional lives, why entrepreneurs can't be lone wolves, and how to create your own support system, the one ingredient that all successful businesses have in common, and more golden nuggets of advice. I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Idea Climbing Podcast. Today, we're going to discuss designing your life with Colleen Biggs. Colleen is a 22-year business strategist who empowers business leaders to expand their influence through peak performance habits to attract the right clients and drive more profits. She has launched over 340 businesses. We'll have to dig into that a little bit. Is a keynote speaker, author to 7 number one international bestsellers, with the latest being Step Into the Spotlight to Expand Your Influence. She's the CEO and founder of the Leap Community, which was awarded the most inspirational leaders in business and entrepreneur of the year in 2023. That's quite a start to the show. Thank you for being here, Colleen. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. It just always sounds weird when someone reads all that. You're like, I did all that? That is crazy. What was I thinking?
That's what we're going to get into. Perfect segue. As far as designing your life, which you've obviously done in an optimized state, were you just always that organized? Did it come along, like, maybe, you know, a certain number of businesses in, you realize, whoa, I have to take control? Or were you, what's the story behind designing your life in your world?
You know, this is going to sound really crazy, but I think that when I was born into my family, my father was a very abusive father, not only to my mother, but us kids. There was a lot of chaos. I've even had therapists tell me this, that I probably knew very early as a baby, being born into that family, that I was in unstable ground. So I think when you feel like that as a child, you take control of the things you can control. I spent a lot of time in my room, controlling my, you know, stuffed animals, controlling where things go in my room. I had tiny little spaces I would build in my closet, you know, on the shelf. And that would be like where I would read books and escape from, like, my house. I know that sounds really strange, but from a child, I feel like I really needed to create that stability for myself because I craved it. And then when my parents got divorced when I was 12, that was when it just felt like the rug got pulled out from underneath me. And I was like, okay, from now on, Colleen, you're just going to have to figure out how to financially take care of yourself, because everyone kind of, you know, went into their own little ways at that point. My mom kind of stopped being a mom. My sister became a hermit in her room. And I was like, well, I'm only 12, so who's going to raise me? So I'm sure everybody in the house has a different perspective. Mm-hmm. That was my perspective. And from then I decided, my mom said, you grow up, you get married, you have babies, and you're like a homemaker, like my mom was. Yeah. Well, that obviously didn't work out so great for my mom. So I was like, I need to design a life that looks different than that. And I literally have been designing my life from that point forward, no matter what it was, whether it was, I'm going to get this specific job because I want to make a specific amount of money and I want to work my way up a corporate ladder. And this is the way I need to do it. I want to marry this certain person, right? Because this is what I want my life to look like. I want to have this specific hobby or move into this specific neighborhood because I want to be surrounded with certain people. So I've constructed my life based on how I want it to play out. And whether anyone believes it or not, they do the same thing. They're either constructing it or they're not. And if they're not, then their life, they probably have this attitude that life is happening to them. Like, oh my gosh, everything happens to me that's bad. That's kind of a victim mentality. I could have a victim mentality if I wanted and write an autobiography about, you know, abuse and how I felt alone at 12 and all of that stuff. But really, honestly, you can turn that around and become a victor and be that person that changed their life because they knew they could.
So how, well, in your case, multiple businesses, how do you design a life? Someone's listening or watching. How do you design a life to make it, hospitable or eager to go to actually build a successful business or successful businesses? What does that look like with balancing personal and business?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because the very first thing that we have to decide and remember is you can't do it alone. And even though I had designed and constructed my life, I had friends, I had colleagues that I leaned on, I became friends with individuals, had mentors to be able to become a better manager, to be able to have someone to help me and guide me so I could get a better job or get a better promotion, right? Mm-hmm. So when we think about working for corporate America or having a job, we surround ourselves with people that are educated in an area. We go to college to get educated, or an institute, or, you know, to learn technology, to get a certificate. We have to, one, surround ourselves with people that are going to support us in that endeavor. So you should never do it alone. You first want to get a mentor, read books. That's another way to do it. Get a whole bunch of books and start reading them on how to start a business. What are the A, B's, and C's on starting a business? What are the first steps I need to take? And then what do I need to do next? I've done that for real estate investing. I don't have a mentor other than Robert Kiyosaki right now, because he lives in Arizona and I've read all of his books, right? So I get my knowledge from that. So get yourself surrounded with knowledge in the area of what you need to get started. And I would put people in that as well, like mentors. Maybe you're watching YouTube videos. I mean, I've done that for small things, like understanding how to do water fasts and what that means for your health. And then I go down the rabbit hole of watching all the videos to understand it a little bit better before I actually do the act for myself and understand what the health benefits are. So I feel like people jump into business like anybody can be a business owner. It's not true. They can't. It takes a lot of stamina, a lot of drive, a lot of high performance habits to be a successful business owner that can drive profits, that can hire a team on, that can build something. That just, no one's born a leader. I hate that. Oh, they're just a born leader. Bullshit. Crap. They're not born leaders. You keep it clean. They're not born leaders. Leaders are made. And they're made by who they surround themselves with and the habits that they choose to take. So if you want to be a business owner, you have to create the habits of being a high performer.
Well, in the entrepreneurship world, what goes into designing a successful business?
Okay, so designing a successful business starts with the first thing, which is, do you even have something that somebody wants to buy? So I think that's the first thing. You have to test the market. Is there a significant problem out there for something that you want to sell? So if you have a product, is someone missing something? Like let's think of when sticky notes came out, right? There was no other way that you could write a note instead of using tape. So they just added stickiness to the back of the sticky note. That solved a problem for people of not having to use tape, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a product and you have a service, what is your service solving? So that's the number one question you have to ask yourself. Do I have a solution? And am I the one credible to offer that solution for a problem that someone has? And that's probably the biggest issue I see with business owners is they just get out there and think, oh, I can be a business owner and I can do this, but they don't understand kind of that whole communication and sales funnel and understanding, figuring out who your ideal customer is, because you should only be talking to your ideal customer. And when I ask people, well, who do you serve? Oh, I serve everybody. I'm like, I could just write a little note in my notebook. Well, they're going to struggle because we can't. When you try to serve everyone, you serve no one. You need to know exactly who your target market is and what they struggle with. For example, people will say, Colleen, who do you serve? And I say, I serve female business owners that are looking to drive more revenue in their business. So they're either having a brand new idea that they need to get activated and implemented to monetize, or they have an idea and want to start a business and they want to monetize that. So it always has to do with generating income. It's very clear on why somebody would hire me.
So how do you create that profile? I mean, how do you whittle it down from just anyone to as specific as you got it? Where does that start?
Yeah, so it really starts from a formula of understanding what is the problem that I'm solving. There's a problem that exists. So is your problem that this person can't lose weight is the problem, that this person can go to the gym, right? Let's just use overweight. It's the easiest example for everyone to use. Mm-hmm. There are gyms everywhere. There's probably one 5 minutes from your house right now, and you can use your body weight and everything in your house, plus a YouTube video that's free, to get in shape. But why don't people do it? Because they're not motivated to do it, right? And then it takes accountability for them to do it. So they might say, I'm really motivated and I want to do this, but there's no accountability to get them there. That might be an individual that needs a class that starts at 7:30 for accountability, and then they'll show up. And then as long as they know that someone's going to be there and they've registered for a class, that's kind of like the psychotherapy that happens with that, then they'll show up to the class. But every single one of us had the opportunity to be in optimal health just from watching YouTube videos, right? But they don't. So that ideal problem and demographic of that person is they're not going to go on their own to do a workout because they would already be in shape if they were. So you would say things like, do you struggle to get to the gym on your own? Do you find that working out alone isn't something fun to do? Maybe this person's very social. Do you find that you just don't have time in your schedule to get your workout in? You want to lose weight, but you just never find the time. That's your ideal client, right? You just talk to them because they're like, that's me. I'm that person. And then before you know it, you're like, great. I work with individuals that are struggling with these four things, and this is what I do to solve it for them. And then they tell them, you know, we meet twice a week for an hour online. You know, you've got to register for the class or you show up in a group. So now you solve the social, and we guarantee that you'll, you know, lose body mass or fat or whatever in this program in 30 days. Well, that person's like, I'm in. Because it's what I want to do, but I'm struggling to figure out how to do it on my own. I need someone there to guide me.
So once you find your ideal client profile, avatar, whatever you want to call it, what's the next for business growth? You know who you want to, you know who you can help solve problems for. Then what comes next for growth?
You have to start telling people about it. I can't tell you how many people I meet just randomly. And I've never seen them anywhere, not in a networking event. No one's ever mentioned their name. I've never seen their social media feeds come through. There's no reels. There's nothing where I would see them. And so I ask them, like, how do you promote yourself? That's the number one thing I ask. Like, how do you promote yourself? And they're like, well, I really don't. I don't like doing videos of myself. I don't like going online. I said, well, do you have a newsletter list? Do you send out emails? No, I don't really, you know, I talk to people, but so right there, you're like, okay, well, nobody knows you exist. So that's probably why you're not getting any business. It's like putting a building on the corner and not putting a sign on it. I mean, who's going to pull up in the parking lot, knock on the door and go, just wondering what you do here. Yeah. But if you put a sign that says Circle K, everybody knows what's inside because Circle K's branded themselves, or Dunkin' Donuts, right? So you have to brand yourself. What are you known for? Right. If someone says, do you know Colleen Biggs? They're like, yeah, what does she do? Oh, man, she's the best. She creates visibility for women. She's got a community. She runs a bunch of events in person. Like, she's the one you want to know if you want to get connected with other people for opportunity. It's pretty simple because that's how I branded myself to other women out there. Right. So you've got to brand yourself to be unique. This is why I say it's not for everybody. Most people, Mark, they want to blend in because they don't want to be noticed, right? I'd rather just blend in because if someone notices me, they're going to judge me. But that's not what we're talking about here. If you don't stand out and be known for something, nobody knows who you are. Therefore, they don't know what problem you solve. Therefore, they don't know what to buy from you.
Well, you've built community extremely successfully. Can you speak a little bit about, is it a cart and a horse? Does the community help build the brand? Do you build a brand first and then a community somewhere in between? What does that look like?
I built the community first. And I really feel like the community helped build the brand because I did what I really preach to a lot of individuals, which is you need to be on other people's platforms. So OPP, we talk about that a lot, other people's platforms. Mm-hmm. But in the same breath, you need to build your own platforms. Who are you speaking to? How, if you don't have an audience, who are you talking to? You could build that audience and community on Instagram. I've seen hundreds of thousands of people do that, where they just start talking on Instagram and sharing all of their content and what they do. And they share their ideas. They share, this is what I did, you know, to solve this problem. And then before you know it, people are following them and they create a community of people around them. And now they have an audience. So I do say you definitely should create a community. And that's really by meeting people, nurturing people. So you do need to collect email addresses, follow them on social media, know their phone numbers. Mm-hmm. How do you nurture? How do you nurture relationships? How do you do little touch points? You know, I was on a chair like many, many, many years ago, probably a decade ago, that was called a touch points chair that I was on. And we created touch points on how the customers would get these really nice pieces of information about their children that were enrolled in these programs over a year time that a child might be in a program or a semester that they were in a program. It'd be like a child in school. How do we give touch points to the parents so that they stay very involved with mm-hmm. what's happening with the children's progression, right? And what's happening, because if your child's progressing, you don't want to pull them out of the activity ever. Because they're progressing, so they want to stay. So it helps create loyalty. It helps create longevity with customers. So there's a lot of brands out there that do that really, really well. And so you want to nurture. So I think that's really the next steps. You know, once you've created that brand for yourself and you do know what's unique about you, you have to understand what is unique about you. And most of the time, people struggle doing that on their own. You have to hire someone to help you understand what is unique about you, because they're going to ask you a bunch of questions that's going to pull that out. And when someone's outside looking in, they can identify some of the great things about you and your mm-hmm. gifts that you would never even bring to the surface to think it was a gift. Right? So go ahead.
What are some of the ways you marketed yourself when you were in the earlier stages of your career? What did you do to market yourself?
I was everywhere. And when I say that, you have way more time than money when you start. Way yeah. more time. So your time is spent because you don't have all the clients. You don't, you know, everything's not booked on your calendar with servicing and, you know, for what people have paid for. What you're doing is you're networking, you're getting out there. So you're on other people's platforms, meaning you're on podcasts, you're on stages, you're in networking events, you're teaching workshops, you're doing anything and everything that people will allow you to do to get your face and your name out there. And I think in a week, I would spend about 30 hours just doing that. It's all
oh my
I did.
Gosh.
Because why would you not? I mean, what are you doing in a week when you first start a business? You know, if someone says, well, I'm still working on my website. I still want to get my logo right. These are the people that I say, you're like ready, fire, or aim. They just sit and aim forever, right? And then they yeah. never fire. So I say ready, fire, and then aim. You can correct later. I think the fastest path to wealth is speed. So whether your website's built beautifully or not, whether you have everything set up perfect or not, all you need to know is what problem you're solving, who are you serving, and then get out there and tell every single person about it and make connections, meet people. And then you just start kind of building that circle for yourself. And then people will introduce you to other people. And then the ball just really starts rolling. And now I probably network now maybe an hour or two a week, maybe. And now most people refer individuals to me. And those are the phone calls I have on an ongoing basis, probably 6 to 10 hours. I'm having those phone calls a week, and I'm not out there having to fish anymore. Now I'm attracting the right clients.
So once you start getting, let's say, middle between what you said in the beginning and what you do now, once you hit the middle point, how do you know what to say yes and no to, or what to, you know, how many events to go to, or when to accept, or how do you start to whittle down what you say yes to?
Well, this is what I do. So, and I think that if you're an entrepreneur, you're probably creative. You probably are very instinctual. We know when we're in a room full of people, if it's a red flag, if we like the energy, if we don't like the energy, if we feel like we're in a room of my people or we're in a room of like, what the hell's happening here? I don't even know who these people are. So there's been plenty of rooms that I've been in that I've just left. It's not my room, right? Or I've tried to go back because I thought maybe it was just off the first time and it's not. So we need to remember that it's not being disrespectful to not be in a specific tribe that doesn't match you. It's not going to pour back into you. You've got to be somewhere where there's a return of investment. Now, I'm not saying that return of investment is transactional. That's a very corporate way of thinking. Mm-hmm. The corporate way of thinking is you walk in, you get a client, it's transactional, and you're out. That's not how it works as an entrepreneur. We just talked for the first half of the show about understanding their problems, right? You're really kind of catering to that client. I think, you know, Starbucks does it best when it comes to relationships with customers because they write your name on a cup. And when they write your name on a cup, they're building this kind of relationship with you because they call you by name to come up and get your cup of coffee. They were brilliant when they started that campaign because other coffee companies don't do that at all. They're just like, hey, someone over here ordered a almond milk latte. And you're like, I don't know, is that mine or is that yours? Mm-hmm. Or no one knows, right? So there's nothing special about that. So when you feel special in a networking room or in an organization, they know you, they recognize you. You feel like the friendships you're making are worth it. You feel like they're introducing you to other people, opening doors. I call that depositing into your social capital. Your social capital is yours being social. Who's depositing into that? And then who's just removing from that? And the takers, you need to get away from them because they're always going to want something from you and they're never going to give anything back. And you will waste your time trying to get that from them. So I think that's the hardest thing for an entrepreneur to do in the beginning is to say no. But you need to say no because there's a lot of people that I want to say they almost kind of prey on new entrepreneurs. And it's really sad to say that. Mm-hmm. But they prey on them like, oh, you need me to teach you this for more. Oh, you need to hire me to do this. Oh, you need this. You need this. And I see so many entrepreneurs buying and doing all these things. And they can't ever complete it. And it's too much. And it's just all this chatter. And they waste a lot of money that they don't have. You do have to invest in your business and invest in yourself, but make sure you're choosing the right people of where you're at right now and the steps that you need to take that are going to start generating income. I pound this in the ground, Mark. I can't pound it in the ground enough. Your job as an entrepreneur is to drive revenue. You are 100% sales. You just took 100% commission job for yourself that you created. You have to generate income. It should be the very first thing that you're working on. And I just don't get why they sit in aim. I'm still working on my website. I'm like, screw the website. Holy crap. Go try and sell something. Go sell something and make some money. Once you start making money as an entrepreneur, you have more freedom now because you can work on some of those other projects. Your confidence starts building. You're motivated because you're like, hey, I'm actually making an impact. People are paying me for my services. It's entrepreneurs that don't make any money that struggle the most.
We have covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. There's so much in the entrepreneurship world, let's say, with everything we've covered, to reiterate, or maybe it's something new. If you were to say, just at least to start designing your life, at least do this one thing. If nothing else, do this. What would you tell them to do?
Write it out. What do you want? What is it that you want? I ask that question of so many people and they're like, I have no idea. What do you want? Ask yourself that question and start writing them down.
This has been awesome. If people want to find you online, where's the best place to go?
ColleenBiggs.net, or you can Google my name at Colleen Biggs and you'll find me everywhere.
And just to let everyone know, that's B-I-G-G-S. So you get the right Colleen Biggs. Thank you so much for the time. This has been excellent. I really appreciate it, Colleen.
Thanks, Mark.
And scene. Thank you for tuning into the Idea Climbing Podcast. If you'd like to hear from a lot more experts, the Idea Climbing book is now available at ideaclimbingbook.com. You can also hear more podcasts at ideaclimbing.com. www.thebestofthebest.com. Hope to see you in one of those two venues. Have a great one.